being vulnerable is a big part of your faith. You know, you can't go on with your faith keeping your mouth shut, right? You have to open up about your feelings, and you have to just be able to be vulnerable. Good morning, church. Good morning. I didn't want to, you know, start the lesson off any more different than what Mr. Neal does. Have I told you lately that I love you? Because if not, I do. Every single one of you, even Mr. Neal. I've spent probably about 2 months on this lesson, and over that 2 months, I've done a lot of self-reflecting and looking back on my life. I wanted to come up with a story to really, you know, engage the audience and hit you hard right off the bat. And the first thing that came to mind, and I've just rocked with it since, is a story of my grandfather. And there was one night, and I was about to go to sleep, and then I get a text from my cousin, and it's like, "Logan, be prepared." And I had no clue what she was talking about. And it was about 2 minutes later, she texted me in all caps and said, "Logan, go wake up your dad." And I thought it was like some joke she was trying to play, or something that she was trying to do to get me in trouble. But so I didn't go wake up my dad. And by the time I actually listened to her, he was already on the phone. I had no clue what was going on. I had a whole bunch of different ideas running through my head until she finally told me that things aren't looking good. And that's when I had to start looking, and I had to think, you know, why would God do this to me? How does this fit in his plan? Right, I'm never gonna pick up the phone and hear him say in his deep voice, "Logan," ever again. I'm never gonna, you know, be able to talk to him. You know, it was a really rough time, and so I had to do a lot of thinking. And you know, there were a lot of times, you know, where I just had to sit back and ask myself, why? And over that time, you know, I had to ask, my first question is, how do I trust God, right? I had to ask myself that. And there were a lot of times of being upset and, you know, showing your emotion, and it leads me to my first point of you got to be vulnerable, okay? You can't hide your emotions towards your, you know, what's going on. There was one time, and I'll never forget it because it's the only time that I've ever seen my mother cry. We were standing in the store getting donuts on the day of my grandfather's funeral, and we were just talking, and we both just broke down and cried in the middle of the store. And that's when I realized that being vulnerable is a big part of your faith. You know, you can't go on with your faith keeping your mouth shut, right? You have to open up about your feelings, and you have to just be able to be vulnerable. The story of Isaiah really hits that hard. You know, he's a poor farmer, he's receiving all this bad news, and he goes to God, and he's vulnerable. He says, "God, why me? Why am I getting this?" And he opens up to God. He doesn't understand it. And God tells him in the scripture, he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in my vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand." And I want you to underline this next part. "And my reward is with God." At the end of the day, you know, you have to trust that your reward is with God, right? You can't go on with your faith without being vulnerable and without, you know, opening up about what you want and trying to understand why things are happening to you. Part of what Isaiah was doing is he didn't have a plan. You know, he let God work in his life. He let God, you know, he had room for God in his life to work and work out his plan. And that brings me to my next point. Letter B is be open. Right? If you set a plan, you know, if you try to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, to get to your end goal, you leave no room for God to work in your life. And the first story that I thought of when I was planning and when I was planning the be open note was Abraham, right? God promised him a son and kingdoms and the promised land. And Abraham just felt like it wasn't coming fast enough. Abraham felt like he wanted it sooner. And so he went and he had a baby with his servant, Hagar. And that just wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's timing. And Abraham had his own schedule. You know, he wanted what was promised to him faster. He couldn't do that. You know, you got to leave room for God to work in your life. So eventually, you know, he had his baby with Sarah, and all was good from there. But, you know, he tried to work without God. You know, at the end of the day, God will do what he says he will do. God will do what he promises. And right, a part of Abraham trusting that God was going to do what he was going to do, he had to be faithful, which is my next point, letter C. I don't know how many of y'all know this about me, but I play football. I brought a few of my friends today. Three of them play football with me, and they'll be able to tell you that my left MCL is probably not the best MCL. I have damaged it three times within the past 6 months. The most recent time being MLK Day. I was playing basketball. But every single time I had to ask myself, you know, is this going to be it? Am I not going to play football again? And I just had to trust that God had it in his plans for me, that God was going to help me get through this. The verse I have under this is my family's verse, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I want you to underline the part that it says, "Prosper you and not to harm you." Right? Whenever things are going bad in your life, and you ask God, you're like, "God, why me? Why is this happening to me?" Everything ends well, right? Nothing is going to, God doesn't intentionally do bad things to you, okay? He doesn't put you through any trials or tribulations that he thinks you can't handle. It's part of being a part of God's army, right? Is to fight through the times and come out victorious. Part of my MCL journey was asking myself over and over, well, three times, "God, is your plan working?" Which is my next question, is how do I know his plan is working? And over the past 6 months, through the rehab, through the MRIs, through the doctor's visits, you know, through the multiple times being in the trainer's office, being on crutches, I had to do letter A, which is constantly be in prayer and devotion. You know, if you're not constantly speaking with God or constantly, you know, asking him, you know, how do I get through this, you're not going to, you're not going to have the connection with him that you need to have. You know, the last time I got up here and did a sermon, it was the Young Men's Ministry, I think is what we called it, and I did a 10-minute sermon, and Matthew Reed came up and did a 10-minute sermon. I think it was Matthew, maybe it was Bryce. But one of the reads came up and did a 10-minute sermon. Mine was on prayer and devotion. And I'm not going to go all over it again, but if you're not in constant prayer and devotion, you don't have the connection with God. You can't know God's plan for you. You don't, you know, you don't have the connection with God that you need to have. I made it, Mr. Neal. My sermon was successful. The scripture that I have under letter A was, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Underline that, you have received it, and it will be yours. Constant prayer and devotion will get you, you know, anywhere in life that you want to be. You know, if you pray about it and you put in the work and you're constantly thinking about God and you're constantly talking to God and you're constantly asking God, you know, how do I achieve this in your name? If it is your will, how do I get to this? Everything will happen. But a part of constant prayer and devotion is you need to do letter B, which is look for God in your life. Mr. Neal, at the end of December, gave us an assignment, the high school class. He gave us an assignment, which was to look for God in your everyday life. And I didn't only do it for that week. I thought I was only going to do it for that week, but now I'm seeing God every day in my life. You know, every day I'm seeing him work in a way that I hadn't seen him work in the past. I'm going to share with you one of my days, which was Saturday, and it was New Year's Day. And I said, I felt God in a weird way. People always say New Year, New Me, and I never say that, but I actually feel really good about the new year and the opportunities to show God through me. And I feel like that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm letting God speak through me. What I love this, Mr. Neal. But I think, you know, when I'm up here talking, you know, I spent 2 months preparing for this sermon, and I spent a lot of time and a lot of reflecting, and I did a lot of worrying, and you can't worry because God's got you. I'm coming up here, and I wrote out a script, you know, I had everything word for word what I was going to say. I'm not following a script right now. I forgot all that when I stepped on stage. Not a single word I remember. And I'm just letting God talk through me. The scripture I have under that is Acts 17, 26 and 27. It says, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I wasn't planning on having y'all do this, but I want you to underline the last part, and it says, though he is not far from each one of us. God is always here with us. God always is in our presence. You know, he's never far. You can reach out to him constantly. Amen. Looking for God in your life, when you start out, it's a hard thing to do because you have to purposefully look. But after you get started, you just see him working. He is constantly working in your life. I've got four friends with me today. You know, I don't know if they had been to church before. You know, I know two of them have because I've brought them, but it's a blessing to have them here with me today. And it's just ways that God is working in my life, you know. A part of God working in your life and you seeing God is my next letter, which is you have to obey his commands. If you don't do what he says, if you don't obey his commands, right, he's not gonna help you as much as, you know, he'll help like somebody that's constantly obeying him.
Thank you.
If you obey his commands, you can have the comfort in knowing that his plan is working for you. You have the comfort in knowing that at the end of the day, at the end of your life, you are going to heaven. And it's really not that hard to obey his commands, you know. This is one of the things that I think can be easier done than said, you know. Everybody says easier said than done. Obeying his commands is quite simple. You have to live a godly life. You have to try your hardest to replicate the life that Jesus lived. You're not going to completely replicate it. You know, nobody can be perfect. But if you try your hardest and you let God speak through you every day and you live every day for God, you know that you have the comfort of knowing that his plan is working for you and that you're going to end up in heaven. The scripture I have under letter C is Deuteronomy 28:1. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. And obeying his commands and obeying what he says is such a crucial part in your relationship with him. You know, if you're not constantly doing what he says, you're not going to have the relationship that you need to have with him. And one of his commands is, you know, you need to be baptized to come to heaven with me. And that brings me to my last question, which is, how do I ensure that I get to enjoy God's plan for me? And all I've got to say is that you've got to get baptized. I remember when I got baptized, my grandfather did it for me. I walked out of the building that day feeling like a new man. I walked out of the building that day prepared to go and spread God's word and, you know, live through him every single day of the rest of my life. I walked out of the building and immediately told all my friends that I got baptized. It was such a great day. And you ensure that God's plan is going to work for you by getting baptized and becoming a new member of Jesus. And you do that, you know, and you do that during invitation. We have the invitation song, you know, as a way for you to come up to the front and come be a new person. Even if you're not coming to the front to be baptized, coming and repenting for your sins in front of the church, you know, helps you ensure that, you know, people can be accountable for you and you live your life through Christ. So that's what invitation is for. I know that this is a lot shorter of a sermon than we usually have. I don't know if any of you like that. Maybe you get to lunch faster and you're okay with it. But that's all I had prepared for today. And let's stand and sing.